There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay. Here it is. It's Tuesday night. Today's date is the 17th of March, 2015, and it is about 4 minutes and 40 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock. Me and Ranger, we were preoccupied. Yes, that's true. And so we got into the barn and fired the machines up about a minute or two late. But what's new, right? You've had worse. Okay. Now, to really understand the quality of what we're striving for, to get the full effect, to really appreciate just how special it is, there's a lot of debate whether it's whether pork chops or like a pork roast or bacon. A lot of people like to use bacon grease. The drippings in the pan from a turkey or maybe a brisket. As you well know, there's been hundreds of years of debate over what type of drippings, grease and drippings, make the best gravy. And then it gets even worse. Do you use cornstarch or flour to add texture, thickness to the gravy? Do you like your gravy to be lumpy? Do you want little pieces of meat in your gravy? Do you want the gravy to be lumpy? Or do you want the texture of your gravy to be smooth like milk? So, what type of drippings from what type of meat, what type of drippings and grease do you prefer? Do you like your dressing, your gravy to be thick, kind of lumpy with meat in it? Or do you like it to be thin and kind of almost watery or like consistency of milk? And then, do you prefer white gravy or brown gravy? Do you want to add a little bit of wine in your gravy? So when you talk about preparing gravy for a meal, it's real subjective. Do you use warm water? Do you use cold water? Do you use tap water? Do you use the water from boiling eggs or water that's been used to boil potatoes to enhance the flavor of your gravy? It boggles the mind, and everybody has their perfect recipe for gravy. But that's not the real issue, is it? No. This is Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. So now you have your gravy. But there's issues with gravy, isn't there? You maybe want gravy on your potatoes. Maybe you want gravy on some dressing. Maybe you want gravy on your meat. But do you want gravy on your vegetables? Do you want gravy on your dinner roll? Do you want the gravy to touch your dessert or your salad? Because as much as you love gravy, as important as gravy is to your meal, it can kind of get out of hand. And if you don't pay attention, before you know it, you really should be eating out of a bowl or a bucket. Because everything on your plate is now floating in a sea of gravy. Now, every once in a while, there's somebody that comes along and they put gravy on everything. They put ketchup on everything. They can't eat anything unless it's got some type of gravy or condiment flooding it, painting it like you'd paint a house. Now, you hear us talk a lot about commitment and about conviction and about being focused and how you have to literally put your relationship with Christ first. And if you've listened to to Jim's show with any regularity at all, and by the way, welcome to the new listeners, and thanks to the people who've listened since show one and the people that are catching up on the archives. Good for you. Welcome. And thanks. We always talk about focus and dedication and commitment and how you have to really take responsibility for your relationship with Christ and how you have to put God first. And it sounds easy and it sounds great. But we get these emails and these text messages. I've got bills to pay. I have a mortgage. I have insurance payment. My son needs braces. My daughter wants a college fund. And oh yeah, we have a vacation home. We've got a co-op, a condominium at a ski resort. I can't afford to go on a vacation, but I'd sure like to have enough money to at least to be able to stay home when I'm sick from work. How am I going to do that if you tell me to blow off my job, forget my hobbies, ignore my kids, and turn towards God? Seriously, how do you think I'm supposed to accomplish that? Because your life is gravy. You know, we talk about how there's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh. But yet, you know, it's fun to watch a cloud roll by and say, look, that cloud looks like Woodrow Wilson, like a dead president. And it's fun to have popcorn and watch a good movie and to go fishing and to enjoy hobbies and just to be outside and be with friends and do all kinds of sports, except for golf. We all know golf is bad. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying life and having fellowship and being with people and being a part of the world. But it's kind of like gravy. Your life, your reality is like gravy. It becomes so encompassing that you're drowning in the realities of the day. You are overcome with your life. Whether it's good or bad, it's everywhere. Your life, your reality is the gravy that we're talking about here. You've got gravy at your work. You've got gravy at home with your kids. You wish that you could just escape even for one day, 24 hours, Go somewhere where nobody knows you. In other words, what you're saying is, you love gravy, but you could use a break. You'd just like to have something to eat, even a snack, that doesn't have the taste or texture of gravy. How can you do that if you don't have a commitment, if you don't have a goal? Because, Jim, there is references literally to too much gravy all over Scripture, where it talks about where you really have to say, no thanks.
Yeah, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you know, the opening
tonight. Did you like
that? I did. The opening tonight is the reason why in my services anymore, people get real quiet. And their quietness actually is very telling. Because when you start speaking about subjects like BJ just opened up with, what does it do but cause you to reflect? It causes you to look on the inside, and you begin to just for a moment allow your life to pass before you, and you begin to see, my life pretty much has gravy on everything. Now, to be real honest with you, you know, BJ and I don't eat until after the show. So if we get talking about food, it can be real difficult around here.
Because, yeah, it could be a really bad show.
Because I started envisioning the drippings from bacon and from turkey and from, you know, a good pork roast. And
did I describe it good?
Yeah. I mean, to the point where I really would like some gravy. But what happens is...
We got chips and dip.
Allie is home, and the other two girls are on a mission trip right now. So Allie likes fish. She doesn't like red meat. So there's no gravy tonight for me. None. But anyhow, I trust you all like that, because to me, that pretty well sums up, in my opinion, the Apostle Paul's message. He was constantly warning people that there's too much gravy.
Yeah.
I mean, he, in a various different ways, and I have bunches of scriptures. I mean, tonight's topic, hello. I mean, it's like the whole New Testament. In fact, it goes all the way through the Old Testament as well. But I find people getting really quiet when you start to talk about things of the world. You know, when you talk about the things of Christ, people shout and they say amen and hallelujah, and they want to run around the room. And I don't think that's bad either. I think that's great. I mean, if people can shout for their favorite team, you know, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, they just love, you know, something like that, to get behind somebody and see someone win. Why shouldn't we as believers be able to be excited about and shout about our Lord and our Savior and our relationship with God? But if everybody was experiencing that relationship, things wouldn't get so quiet when you begin to talk about the world and you begin to talk about gravy, because people realize they're swimming in it. And that's really some of the topic of tonight. Trying to help people maybe to become more committed, maybe to put themselves all in. BJ and I were talking about a phrase down here in Oklahoma that people understand when you talk and say there's no dog in the hunt. You know, I wonder, why don't you text us tonight and tell us if you understand that saying? But whether or not you're all in or not, you can get so easily distracted by the gravy, it really does begin to taint everything that's on your plate.
You know, there's been I don't know what it's been, 10, 15 years, it really doesn't matter. But there is a playing card games, poker, is bigger than it ever has been in this country.
Now?
Yeah, poker's really big.
Wow.
I mean, it's, you know, there's poker clubs, poker competitions, there's poker television shows. It's like a big deal. I don't play cards. I just find cards kind of boring.
Right.
Anyways, there's a term when they're wagering, and you have all, it's table stakes, what the poker chips that are in front of you.
Okay.
They'll take all their chips and they'll say, I'm all in.
Right, right.
Which means that every single chip, no matter what its value, they're gambling it on that hand.
Yeah.
Either they're going to win or they're going to lose. There's no second place.
Right.
There's no timeout. There's no do-over. Because it isn't like, well, I had $1,000 and I lost $200. I still have $800 left. No. Sure. They literally just shove all their chips to the middle of the table, and the term is all in. Which means that they have literally put everything aside, and what they believe firmly that they're willing to lose. They know it's right. Do or die. There's no second place. They're not grading on a curve. They've committed 100%. They're all in. So when we talk about gravy as a metaphor, and we talk about commitment and why someone's prayers aren't answering, why they may recognize grace or they may even touch grace, but it comes in and out.
Yeah.
It's like a radio station that is so far away,
right.
You hear static, and every once in a while, you hear just part of a song, and then it's gone, and you go, I can't believe this signal is in and out.
Right.
Well, it's because they're either not close enough, or they're not committed enough to dial that signal in. Which means they need to focus. They need to put everything aside
right. And
search for the strongest signal to hear that station. In other words, are you all in? Are all your chips in? Well, you can't have all your chips in because some of your chips are family, jobs, hobbies, and school. It's like keeping an eye on the gravy on your plate.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the term? Of course you have. Bet the farm?
Yeah.
Same thing.
All in. Bet everything you got. Bet the farm.
Have you ever had anybody when you were growing up do that or say that?
I saw a guy get really, really drunk one time. And my grandfather's brother, no, two of my grandfather's brothers and one of my second cousins that was a lot older than me, they tried to get the guy to leave a card game.
Uh-huh.
And he literally went across the street, got the deed to his farm, and he bet it on a card game in a bar.
Yeah. That would be betting the farm.
And he lost.
Yeah.
Yep. He lost. And the next day, he committed suicide.
Oh, terrible.
True story.
Hmm.
Yep. I was 8. No, I think I was 9 years old. Yep.
Hmm. Wow.
And so kind as a kid, thought. Whenever somebody said bet the farm,
yeah.
To me, it meant dire straits. It meant, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is bad. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly.
It's going to get really, really catastrophic bad. It's a nightmare. So to me, whenever I still to this day, when I hear that term, bet the farm, it's like an old rerun of a TV show pops up on my screen.
Uh-huh.
And says, hi, remember me, this episode, Bet the Farm?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just some things that happen in your life. Fortunately, they're not all bad. Sometimes they're really good things. But every once in a while, something comes along in your life that in a heartbeat, the right word or the right thing happens, and it's like it just happened.
Yeah, well, you know, the scripture, and this is from the Distilled Translation, but over in Hebrews 11:1, you got to like this scripture. It says, now faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God. I mean, I like the phrase there, betting your life on the unseen. There's nothing about that that says you're not all in. That says you're not willing to put yourself. In fact, remember, we've shared this a few times, but A.W. Tozier was a man of God way back in, oh, I don't know. I mean, it was like the 19th century, so 1860, 1865, 1870. And he made this comment. But then think of the day that we're talking about, that things hadn't gotten so perverse as they are today, that there was a remnant of individuals that still thought like they used to a long time ago. And he made the comment. He said, faith, real faith, is where you put yourself on purpose. And that's the part that I like. You put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back. And then he went on to say, pseudo faith is where you have a way out just in case God fails you.
Plan B, plan B.
Yeah, there's nothing about it that's commitment, is there?
No, when you leave the lower 48 states, there's a road that goes to Alaska from the lower 48 states. Some of it is paved, but most of it isn't paved. And it's literally the law. If you get caught on this road without this laundry list of supplies and equipment, they impound your car and send you home, because it's like hundreds and hundreds of miles to go from the lower 48 states to Alaska, the state of Alaska, through Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's treacherous, and it's like you have to have two or three spare tires, you have to have extra gas, you have to have water and food and clothing and ways to start a fire and a first aid kit, and you have to have all this stuff because more than likely something's going to go wrong. And oh yeah, they tell you that you're going to need a new windshield when you get to Alaska. For some reason, very rarely does somebody ever make it on that road from the lower 48 states to Alaska without losing their windshield full of rock chips and or hit by something.
Huh.
And it just tears the heck out of tires, and I mean, it's really bad.
Hmm.
Well, that being said, there's a small list that gets you into heaven. That if one thing is missing, chances are you're not going to make it. And it's really up to you whether you choose to comply or not. And if you're willing to commit, if you're willing to be all in, if you're willing to be 100%, whatever cute little phrase you want to paint yourself with.
Right.
And on this short list is the number one thing on the list that unless you comply, it's just not going to work is this. The guys first.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will say, well, I don't know, that seems pretty ridiculous. Well, what do you think the statement says? Don't worry about where you live, what you have to eat, or where you sleep. I will take care of you. And look at what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
Their punishment was what? A brand new to-do list that had no end. You're going to have to make clothing. You're going to have to worry about your appearance. You're going to have to work. You're going to do this. You're going to literally the punishment of man is really kind of sad, because that's what the biggest distraction and unfortunately seems to be at the top of the list at people 2,000 years in the future.
Yeah, I can concur, because today I spent most of the day doing taxes. And when you're doing your taxes, of course, I prepare them and then I send them to someone that helps me with them. But even preparing them and taking the worksheet and going through all of your taxes and beginning to look at where you put your money for the last year, what amount of money went into the utilities, what amount of money went into the grocery store, what amount of money went into clothing or went into entertainment or went into, you know, insurance for your car or a car payment, so on and so forth. When you begin to look at that, it just reminds you of the laundry list. The part that I like that you said, BJ, is you said it's never ending. The laundry list, it doesn't end. I mean, as long as we're on this earth doing things the way the world does it, we really can get trapped in this laundry list of to-do things where you feel like you have no other way out. And this is something we talked about before the show, that it's people's day-to-day busyness that actually gets in the way, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, how many times? Hey, hit the fan, would you?
Yeah.
It's getting kind of warm in here.
Medium?
Yeah, turn it on medium. Thanks. Jim, we've talked about this so many times on the show about how you know, it isn't like people have to worry about killing each other or stealing or adultery or, you know, the animal abuse, child abuse. I mean, those are sins, but what really people miss is, what people really miss is they ignore grace. They ignore God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this kills me because I'll talk to people and I'll say, what are you doing? They'll say, well, we're really busy this Sunday. We got a lot going on. We got spring cleaning. My family's going to be here for Easter. And so we're not going worshiping this week. I've just got too much to do. Okay. Well, they've really said that since they have company coming for the holidays, they've literally put their quote-unquote religious beliefs on the back burner because they're quote-unquote busy.
Well, how many people, while I'm doing a meeting that emphasizes people getting healed, say, I couldn't come, I was sick?
Yeah, that one kills me.
I mean,
one of the biggest ridiculous things that you've ever told me, is there's this lady who's well-known that goes around and talks to people at places like you do, and she's loved, and she's a real nice lady. I mean, I've only talked to her once, and when I did, I made her cry. But she said it was one of the best talks she'd ever had in her life. But I made her cry.
Uh-huh.
Is she sings songs about grace and God. And she gets others to join in and sing. And she does this in front of groups of people who are trying to have a better relationship with God. Well, she had something wrong with her throat. Wasn't it her throat?
Yeah.
She had something wrong with her throat, and so her doctor told her no singing. And what was the first thing I said to you? I said, how stupid and ridiculous is that? And you go, what do you mean? And I says, okay, you're singing about Christ. You're getting others to sing about God, and a doctor has told you there's something wrong with your voice, and the only way it's going to get better is if you stop thinking, but yet you're telling people what a great relationship you have with God and how you can be closer to God, and people are looking at you as a leader and someone to look up to.
Right.
I said, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that goes back to gravy. It is.
It's like a couple getting married. And they're saying, well, the guy that runs the church, the reverend at the church, requires everybody to go through a little pre-marriage before you get married seminar that he puts on. And he's going to start it next week. He can't start it this week because he's finishing up the divorce papers on his own marriage.
Right.
And this is the guy that's going to give you premarital advice.
Right.
That it's a requirement before you get married. But but he's busy this Tuesday night because he's getting his divorce papers final.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And this, the irony and the hypocrisy is not foreign to you.
No.
To any of us. If you look for irony and hypocrisy, you'll see it every day.
Hmm.
You'll see it somewhere. Sometimes it's kind of funny and humorous, and other times it isn't. Like I'll give you an example: fresh frozen. If it's frozen, it's not fresh.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, jumbo shrimp. There's another one. They're shrimp. There's nothing jumbo about a shrimp. There might be bigger shrimp than other shrimp, but the word jumbo and shrimp, see, that's funny. Those things are kind of funny. But what isn't funny is when someone says, I have so much going on in my life. As soon as I get all this worked out,
right,
I'm going to read my Bible.
Right.
As soon as things smooth out, as soon as I get over this hill, as soon as I get these dramas, as soon as I feel better, my goal is to cultivate a better relationship with God.
Yeah, here's a passage on gravy. Okay, in fact, it should have just said gravy because of the way we're explaining it tonight. The Message Bible, Romans 12:1-2. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God wants the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great. That's good stuff.
I think we need to make a thank you announcement, don't you think?
Yeah, this I'm dedicating this little bit of the radio show right now to a wonderful human being named Diana.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere back east.
Right, in New Jersey.
New Jersey, Diane, because she made me a box of Butter Crunch.
And it got to you.
I got it.
I know, that's... I had to weigh down my backpack with all that.
I wish I could prove to her and everybody else listening that I was actually enjoying the Butter Crunch, but I don't know how to do that because we don't have, like, excuse me, we don't have cameras or anything. how are they ever going to know that I'm actually eating Butter Crunch?
I have no idea how they would know that, but I'm sure, folks, you'll come up with it.
I don't know, but I'd like to, you know, to tell them it's yeah, really delicious. Yeah. Folks, we need some text. Hold on. Got some more too. Okay. We need some text messages and emails. The way you email the show is the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. It's all one word, no capital letters, no spaces. The Abiding Presence at G, the letter Gmail. G as in gravy.
Okay, I'm going to text the show because there's some folks on the Wednesday night that were trying to text the show last week and they couldn't get through. So, well, if you don't mind going over that one more time real slow.
Yeah, the email address is theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Okay, the way you text the show is, the first, you have to type this word. If you don't type grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace, if grace isn't the first word you type, we won't get the message. So you have to type the word grace first, then the rest of your message. When you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code, it's just five numbers, 69302. That's 69302. So first you type the word grace, then the rest of your question or comment, and when you press the send button, you send it to 69302. Now, I have sent a text to the show, and it showed up. Now, when you send a text message, we don't know your phone number. It just gives us the message. We don't know who sends a text number. Rumor has it that Ranger has been sending text messages back because the text service, the way you know that your text got to the barn is the texting service sends a text back. Okay, I just got a text that says, what did Ranger say tonight on the text?
Oh, I just got it back. It says, Ranger here, folks. Why is it that I have to...
To what?
That's it.
What do you mean that's it?
Why is it that I have to...
And then you just send testing?
No, I sent
Somebody
grace.
Did.
What did Ranger say tonight on the text?
Oh, I don't know. See, okay, rumor has it that Ranger has some in with the texting company because it's supposed to say Boxstall Broadcasting, thank you for your text message.
Yeah, it doesn't say that.
It never says that. No. It's always some message from the dog.
Yeah.
Well, see, now what's Ranger doing?
It just says, Ranger here, folks, exclamation point. Why is it that I have to, and then it stops. So,
well, we got
I don't
one.
Know what she's thinking.
I'm never going to be able to prove to Diane or anybody that I got their Butter Crunch. All right, good. Then we got one that says, testing.
Hey, can I borrow one of those?
What, Butter Crunch?
Yeah, I'll give you one of mine, but I don't have my box.
No, go ahead.
Me.
Have yourself. They're delicious. Okay, we got an email. It says, how was God born and how old is he? This is from Tatiana and Tiasha. Those are the Weaver kids.
Hmm.
Well, it's common knowledge that God was born in a barn, and there was all kinds of farm animals around him. And there was a couple people that showed up, and they were looking up at the moon and the stars, and everything was really great. And how old is he? Let's see. God is, what is he now? He's about, 32, 34 years old?
Well, that was the last we heard of him.
How'd I do?
Pretty good.
I didn't drag it out too far, did I?
No. The other thought is, Scripture leads us to believe, of course, that God had no beginning and God has no ending. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
I described Jesus. I didn't describe God.
Right. You described Jesus.
Oh. God is...
been around a long time.
Long time.
And he doesn't show his age.
Wow. Yeah. No, he doesn't.
That's the coolest part.
Somebody said he's from Montana.
No.
Has a little truck stop up there on the interstate.
Oh, really? Where'd you see that? On the news or something?
I might have just made it up. I think I'm succumbing to a sugar high over here.
I think you are.
Okay, we got another text message here. It says, "Hi, we can hear you crunching your butter crunch live and loud." This is from Diane from Toronto. Really? They could hear that?
Yes.
What do you mean, yes? Are you grouchy tonight?
No, I'm doing...
Huh?
I'm doing just right. I'm doing
good. Because if you're a gloomy Gus, you got to, like, walk out of the barn.
Okay.
I guess I better put this away. Okay, folks. We need some text messages. We need some emails because... I want to ask you a question real quick, and that is this. Think about what we've talked about so far on the show tonight. You can say it's a distraction. You can say it's your day-to-day life. But what we're really hoping is that some of you tonight will take a hard look at what's your priorities. You know, think about how ludicrous this really sounds. You're too busy for grace. You've got too much on your plate, too much going on. Nothing washes butter crunch down like cherry Kool-Aid. Sorry about that. I was choking. Soon as I get this project over at school, as soon as I get my homework done, as soon as I'm feeling better, because whatever the reason you come up with, no matter how important, how valid, how serious, how life-altering it is, how dramatic it may be, when you boil it down to gravy, so to speak, you're literally saying... It trumps God.
Yeah.
That it's more important, it's more dangerous, it's more vital, it's more serious than a relationship with Christ.
I have a good scripture here that really helps right here. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, "And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused," this is a part I like, "they've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go into all kinds of obsessions, addictions to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him. Be well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. I really like that. It sums up what we're talking about, I think, so well. And here's the part, BJ. I know the feeling no pain, where they lose reality with itself.
Right.
You know, like the thing about a leper is when they, part of one of the reasons it's so dangerous with the disease is they lose feeling. They go numb. So they could have their finger in a fire or they could have their finger caught in a door and not feel it. And that's where they end up having, you know, they lose limbs. They have difficulty with, you know, a large type of sores and casualties. But my point is the spiritual leprosy is the same thing. People can get so much gravy on their food, and if they do it for so long, they think that everything actually has to taste that way. They lose their taste buds for something sweet, or they lose their taste buds for something that has a bite to it, you know, like a mesquite wood or something that's got some type of bite to the meat if you're gonna use that some of the smokers and stuff and some of that type of thing. But my point, I think, that is well given here, it's real easy to lose your focus and lose your point of reference. This is one of the things I think tonight that I really want to emphasize, because we lose that tenacity to bet our life on God.
There's been evidence of leprosy for like 4,000 years before Jesus. They used to force people into colonies, remove them.
Mm-hmm.
The word lepra means scales, to scaly, to have things fall off.
Right.
Because leprosy, your skin falls off. So we've gone from butter crunch to your skin falling off. And people say we don't cover different topics.
Not a good transition.
I think the saddest thing was in the Middle Ages, you know, when they had knights and you know, jousts and you know, castles and queens and kings and stuff. If you were a leper, you had to carry a bell around your neck. So as you approached an area, people would hear the bell, and they would know to stay away from you because you were a leper.
Well, in Jesus' day, they had to cry out unclean.
Did they really? Have to walk around and say unclean?
They were quarantined to a certain side of the street. They couldn't cross over. They couldn't mingle with anybody, and if they touched anybody, they'd be stoned right on the spot. So they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so people knew to avoid them.
Did you get a text that pertains to the show?
No. How about you?
Nope. Just the last... Oh, yeah, I did. We did. It said, did Ranger get any of the butter crunch? No. As crazy as it sounds, I'm real finicky with animals. They don't... You know, I don't give things to animals that they naturally wouldn't have in the wild. That's why I don't give any corn or oats to horses. But Ranger has never had... Ranger doesn't know what people food is.
Now, Diane sent some really good biscuits.
Yeah, I did get some dog biscuits from Diane. Uh-huh. And I gave one or two to Ranger, and she liked them. And thank you. I read the label really close, though. I'm really careful about what Ranger gets.
Uh-huh.
The other day, one of the cowgirls... she put a sandwich on the hood of her truck, and the wind blew it off, and it was on the ground. And Ranger walked over and looked at it and then just kind of walked away because it fell on the ground, you know, and she saw it move. And then she says, I can't believe Ranger didn't eat my sandwich. And I said, well, Ranger doesn't know what a sandwich is.
Right.
And she says, what do you mean? And I said, she's never licked a plate. She's never licked a bowl. She's never had a French fry or a potato chip or a piece of popcorn. Or she's never had a pork chop bone. And she says, why? And I said, because those are not things that dogs eat.
I need to make sure that my mother-in-law hears this show tonight.
Why?
Because she always, even when we say no, she always gives people food to Mitch a muffin.
Yeah, it's not.
It, and they love her. They love her for it.
I know it tastes good, but believe it or not, most and here's what people don't realize.
Now it's not like I haven't either, but I'm just saying she does
like
a lot.
like a ham bone, like the circular ham bone, a pork chop bone, like a pork or a beef rib bone.
Uh-huh.
That's left over from supper. Those are really bad for dogs.
Tell me why.
Well, because they've been cooked. The bone and the marrow have been cooked, so the marrow no longer has any food value.
Hmm.
And there's always spices and sauces that are hard on a dog's stomach.
Oh, okay.
But what the biggest danger is since they've been cooked, the bones crack and they break apart like glass. They get a lot of little shards. Whereas a raw bone is something that a dog would have in the wild. You know, a dead animal, and a raw bone has the marrow in it, and the raw bone, when it's crushed, it falls apart differently than a cooked bone.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and what's funny is people say, oh, chicken bones are bad for dogs. No, all bones, cooked bones, anything cooked. Anything that you think is tasty or good for you, yeah, it's probably bad for a dog.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the only thing that cheese, a little bit of cheese is good. Real cheese, not fake cheese. A little bit of cheese is good. Chocolate is dangerous, really bad. Virtually poisonous to a dog.
Huh.
But, yeah.
Popcorn's no good either, is it?
No, not really. Because of salt and butter, and if it's plain popcorn... That's illegal.
Mine's going to be salt and buttered.
Yeah. I like one kernel of popcorn floating on 5 gallons of butter. So it looks like a tiny little boat in a sea of butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I usually run out of butter before the popcorn's gone. Sure.
That's really good.
All right. Hey, we got a text message here. It says, spiritual principles of binding and losing in spiritual warfare in general. Speaking against the enemy, etc. Undoing words that gave permission to the enemy. Pleading the blood of Jesus. Things like that. What are your thoughts about those teachings from the faith teachers of old? This is from someone named Chris in Owosso, Oklahoma.
Okay, well, first of all, for me, everything comes back to what it really means to you. In other words, the value that you give something. So the whole idea that, down to the very basics here. Yes, there are demon spirits in the world. No doubt about that. We can see from the scriptures that Satan took 1/3 of the angels from heaven with him, and those angels are defeated demon spirits. Are they endeavoring to pester people and to inhabit their lives and to mess with them? Yes. But it's only in so much that you believe in it, that you buy into the whole idea, that you give in to the flesh and the world, the same things we're talking about. So the fact that so many people spend time trying to exercise their authority over, quote-unquote, the devil or demons and this, that, and the other, it's not as though you don't see the operation of these things today. But the main point in my life concerning this is the very fact that you actually buy into the idea that you can actually be moved by these demon spirits. And here's the point. You can if you want to. You can if you yield to it. But the bigger point, in my opinion, is just very simple, very simply, demon spirits are defeated. Completely defeated.
Yeah.
You don't have to ever be going down that road of dealing with something, because the greater point is, and it comes back to a little bit of what we're talking about tonight, if your level of commitment, I want to share something that you and I talked about. I don't know how we can do it because I don't want to open up something personal, but BJ, one thing, and this goes along with the answer, Chris, one thing that you already had going for you, and right. I'm sad to say that in religious circles, I think religious circles really make very weak people.
They do.
One thing you had going for you is Your yes was a yes. Your no was a no.
Right.
There was a control about your own life. The ability to exercise your own, so to speak, dominion about your own life. And folks, if we don't have that, how does the dominion of Christ or the authority of the believer mean anything if there's no authority in your own life to mean anything in the first place?
We've mentioned this before. My lifestyle, my personality, and the way I look at the world was preventative in having lots of friends.
Right.
And probably having, you know, romantic interests a lot of times. Because if it didn't have anything to do with horses, I didn't care.
Right.
I mean, I literally just, I don't care. And I wasn't rude or mean to people, but they just knew. They'd say, well, you know, if you don't smell like a horse or you don't know anything about horses, you're not going to get very far with that guy. And it was yes or no. Make up your mind. Yes or no. Choose. Make a choice. Mm-hmm. I've always been, but see, I grew up that way. And so the things that made me kind of antisocial and kind of tough to be around really made it super, super easy for me to go home and have conversations with the guys. Because that's what they want you to do.
Yeah, yeah.
They want you to be...
To choose.
They want you to choose. It's our way or the highway. There's no middle ground. There's no compromising.
And they want you to be all in when you choose.
They want you to commit all the way. And remember, I didn't go home in a loving, quote-unquote, Christian way. I literally, I guess you could say, was kind of rude and impolite about demanding.
Yeah.
Because remember, Jim, when you said, how did you go home? I know you've really been there because of, you know, the way right. you're looked, what you're saying, and,
right.
you know, the way you're helping people at these meetings. And you said, what did you do? And I said, I told him to put up or shut up. I said, fine, if you really exist, if there really is a God, I can't think of one legitimate reason why you're not here or why I'm not there. So if you are real, where the heck are you and why am I not there?
Right.
I've done my part. It's time to you do your part. Because if you're not, well, then that means that you're just full of stuff and all this Christian stuff and the Bible sounds really nice, but it's just a man-made way for people to feel good about themselves because you should be here and I don't understand why you're not because I'm here. Where the heck are you? And bam, I was there.
Right, right.
Because I had literally, and we say this all the time, I don't ask for things. I'm thankful for things.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's one of the last things I say besides goodnight, Ranger, at night in bed is me and Ranger will be laying next to me, and Ranger's looking at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'll say dog spelled backwards, and she's in bed, and when I say dog spelled backwards in bed, Ranger just kind of goes, just kind of, yeah. And I'll say, well, it was a great day today. And I can't wait for tomorrow because I know you guys are going to make tomorrow better than today. And it better be that way.
Well, you know.
And see, what I'm doing is I am so committed.
Right.
And I'm so much in belief that, and I know they can do anything and everything. Why would I not have such bizarre, steadfast types of thoughts?
Right.
Because what is it saying? Well, today wasn't bad, and maybe tomorrow won't be so bad either, and thank you for anything that you can do, and I love you, and I know you love me, and whatever I have to go through, I'll go through it, because I know you're testing me in my faith, and I know I'm blessed, and I'm just waiting for the manifestation, and I love you, and everything right. about it, amen. Right. think of the difference between those two people's mindsets. One is saying, hey, you did good today, but tomorrow I know and I expect and I demand you to do more and it to be better.
Yeah.
Versus a person that's saying, well, today wasn't bad and hopefully tomorrow will be okay too. And I made it through today and I know I'm going to make it through tomorrow. And see, there's no real commitment.
Right.
There's no real turning. You're not all in.
Right.
Well, I'm going to bet, but I'm just going to save a little back just in case.
Right.
And then the other person is saying, you know what? Everything on the table and, oh, yeah, could you use some socks and underwear and Wranglers, boots and a hat? Here, take these as well because this is a winning hand.
Now, here's something that's real interesting. In fact, I'm going to read it, and it's coming from Jesus. He makes a comment after I read this story. You'll know why. He makes a comment that says, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, when he says that, that's not a compliment.
Who said that?
Jesus did.
It's an insult.
I'm going to share the story that goes before he says it. But, BJ, that is very concerning because I'm going to share something about a guy that hasn't been in church. He's a centurion, okay? So he's a Roman soldier, and he's in rank. And he hasn't been in church. He hasn't been listening to somebody's tape series or some CDs. He's not been on the internet to some program that's recorded.
He's clueless. No experience.
He's raw. He's raw. Now listen to this, folks. It says over here in Matthew 8, verse 5, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. First of all, can you see here that he's got to get the attention of God just from the fact that he cares so much about a servant? Do you realize what servants were back in those days? They're like dogs.
Yeah, they were worse than a slave.
Yeah, I'm just saying, this guy cares. And Jesus looks, and his first response is, I'll come and I'll heal him. And the centurion fires back, and this is what he says. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. And then he shares with Jesus why he said this. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, well, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed in the same hour. So Jesus is saying here, I've not found this kind of faith in Israel. Which is a scary thought, BJ, because what he's saying is, the more you study, the more you pray, the more you try, and the less you have, the more likely it is you'll probably never have.
Right.
Because you're going the wrong way. And this is a part of religion that's really the scariest. People aren't, they are not big enough to be able to say, I'm wrong.
That's the humbling.
Well, that's the sad part, because if they don't have humility, how in the world are they going to have grace? And this is what I see in this individual right here. Look at the humility of being a centurion. And he's talking to a Jew. And in that day, the Romans, soldiers, the government, lorded over the Jewish man. And he's talking to Jesus, and he could have gotten, you know, just right in his face. But what does he do? He humbles himself and says, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof. But I understand how this works. I recognize that you are a man of authority. And if you'll just say the word, my servant will be well. And to that, Jesus says, I've not seen this kind of faith. And what it says to me is, the more simple you become, the more you locate who you really are and speak from that place, that's when you begin to make a connection with God. Look at your testimony. You know, you're going to have to put up or shut up. You're going to have to show me what's going on. Now, that's your language. That's how you think. And you were all you.
Right.
You hadn't been taught that you were supposed to say it with these and thous, and Father, I thank you that thou great glory is with me now.
I started it. I had it easy because I started at zero, but there are people listening to your radio show, Jim, that they've gone somewhere to worship for decades.
Right.
They're in their 30s, they're in their 40s, they're in their 50s and 60s, and some of them are in their 70s. And so they could honestly say, I've been going somewhere to worship since I was a little kid.
Right.
If you ask me how old I am, that's how long I've been praying and reading the Bible.
Right.
Well, what literally we're asking people to have an open heart and a mind is if you're 42 years old, we're asking you to set aside 42 years of beliefs and habits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're 13 years old, we're asking you to set aside 13 years.
Right, right.
If you're 53 years old, we're asking you to set aside 53 years of what you believe to be true. Now, think about that. That's why it is so easy for small children to have wonderful relationship with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have so little immersion in organized religion. On the surface, there's nothing wrong with organized religion as long as it's the right message.
Right, right.
And you get results.
Yeah, I just talked to a guy. His name is Jacob. He's a huge guy, bodybuilder, you know.
Right.
And so anyhow, there were some things that happened earlier in his life that actually, in one sense, you could say it was not his fault. But nonetheless, the way that it turned out, he was incarcerated for about 3 years. And when he was in prison, he found the Lord. And he said his walk with the Lord while he was in prison was absolutely amazing. And he said the hardest thing since he's been out is to actually keep that same level of relationship or realness with God. I thought that was very interesting because it goes along this same type of line of thought here that we're trying to present to people. Because I wanted to share this with you, those that are listening. You know, there may be some that heard what we just got through saying, what BJ got through saying about letting go of 42 years. And there's some of you that may look at that and think, who in the world do you guys think you are? Do you think you, like, know everything? Or do you think that you just have the right way to do it? And all these years we've been going this. You're asking the wrong question if that's the question you're asking.
The frame of mind is wrong.
That frame of mind is wrong. You need to ask the question, am I still frustrated? Am I having the relationship with God that I really desire? Or do I find myself literally sinking lower and lower on the scale of no results, no testimonies? I still got all the problems I've had for years, and here I am trying to defend where I've been for years, and yet all the time I've been there, I've never had any success. Those are the type of questions and frame of mind you need to have, folks, because it's not about Jim and BJ talking on this show. It's about whether the things we're sharing can help you to become more godly minded and experience God where he becomes real. And out of him being real, you literally begin to experience all kinds of wonderful testimonies and evidence. That's the frame of mind. What do you got there?
Okay, we got some text messages that came in. It says, just wanted to say hello. Your friends from near Menomine, Wisconsin. God bless you. Who would that be? Who is that? I don't know what their names are. I don't remember.
Well, there's a church I went to up there.
Oh, so they're saying hi to you.
Right.
Okay, then we got another one that says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, I'm listening and will be careful with Muffin and Mitch. Who's that?
That's my mother-in-law.
Or your mom.
Oh, well, maybe it's my mom.
We don't know, but it's...
My mom gives them stuff, too.
Does it? Does she?
Yeah, she does.
Okay, we need a clarification because somebody sent... because, see, we don't know the phone number. But somebody said, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, I'm listening and will be careful with Muffin and Mitch.
Well, it's either my mom or my mother-in-law.
I wonder if they'll fess up which one they are. Then we got another text that says, got several comments of gained clarity from people over the weekend, Jim. Thanks. Dorothea, New Jersey, butter crunch, sounds yummy. We didn't get any. Did you steal Dorothea's?
No. Diane, who is Dorothea's sister, didn't make her any.
Jim, you know, it's one thing if you take candy from me and don't give me stuff, but people that listen to the show, now you're stealing their snacks? That's just shameful.
Hey, no, I mean I was good this weekend. I even
Okay, folks, notice what he just said. I said he's stealing snacks and it's shameful. Okay, he didn't say no, I don't steal. You know what he said? I was good this weekend. There, another admission of guilt on worldwide internet radio. And people think I make this stuff up.
You know.
No, I promised myself I wasn't going to.
You know, it's amazing that people buy into your line of thought here.
What are you talking about?
I'll let it go. Okay. There's more for us to discover here on this wonderful show. And
nobody's listening. They're all gone.
You know what? It's very possible. You're right. I'm not sure. But I am going to read 1 John 2 and 15 because there's something in here that really speaks to the level of clarity of how real God is. And yes, I do appreciate that, Dorothea. Just some really good folks, Rob and Dorothea and Bob, Business Card Bob. And Kim.
Business Card Bob.
Yep. So they're doing great, and I had a wonderful time with them. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says in the Message Bible, don't love the world's ways, don't love the world's goods. Well, that kind of sums it up. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out, but whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. That's a very good scripture that fits in tonight. It isolates you from Him. That's the part that really, if you could get one thing, the reason why we talk like we talk on the show is because we want to eliminate the idea that God would be isolated from you. But that comes from just simple choices of really allowing God to be real and literally not dripping in gravy. Yeah. And if we're still talking about the beginning of the show, you really need to listen to that because BJ did a really good job describing multiple kinds of gravy and the wonderful effect they have on our food. And since I'm not going to get any gravy tonight, it's a little bit sad, but nonetheless, it makes a great point that if you're drowning in gravy, it affects all of your food, and I don't want gravy on my cherry pie. I want my dessert to be free from gravy.
That I'm surprised we didn't hear from Stovetop Sue about gravy.
You know what? That would be a perfect chance.
We haven't heard from Breakfast Ed, who probably likes biscuits and gravy.
Oh, Breakfast Ed!
Breakfast Ed sent some money, and he said to use it for whatever I want. And remember, I'm buying a nice coat for Ranger.
That's right, with money from Madsens.
From the Madsens, I think I'm going to use this money to buy Ranger a spring summer raincoat, so that she has something for really cold days in the snow, and then she has something really light and breezy to keep her dry.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah. I think that's what I want to use it for.
Okay.
We got one here that says, love the epic laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Hmm. Okay. Let's see if we got any emails. Folks, we need some emails. Come on. Let us know what's going on out there. The way you email the show is the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G, like in grandmasgravy.com. If you send a text message, the first word that you type is the word grace. After you type the word grace, then you type the rest of your comment or question, and you send it to 69
302. It's just a five-digit number. All this is available on the abidingpresence.com website on the contacts page. If you try to send a text and it doesn't go through, there are some cell phone companies that get in a battle of money with this texting company. And so sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't because they're trying to get more money out of each other or something. And also, we have the email. So if you can't text email, if your email doesn't work, try texting. We got a message. It came in 4 minutes ago. It says, "Hi, Jesus said it in Matthew 5:37. In the New King James Version, Jesus says, 'But let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one.'" And this is from Diane from Toronto. So, thanks for that email.
Yep, that's what we're talking about.
Folks, we're talking about, and this should seem odd and it should be strange. And frankly, it should make you feel a little guilty or uncomfortable and maybe even a little sad or melancholy. Because, honestly, come on. How often, on a day-to-day basis, just very simply, do you have things that are not up for manipulation and change? You can call in sick to work. You can cut school. You can be late for school. You can be late for work. You can get out early if you have a reason. You can turn your cell phone off so that you don't have to text. You don't have to open up your email so you can tell somebody that you haven't gotten your emails yet, so you don't have to deal with it. If you don't like what you're listening to on the radio or the television, you can always turn the channel. If you don't like what you're eating, you can throw it away and cook something else. If somebody wants to have pizza and somebody wants cheeseburgers and somebody else wants chicken, well, it just means you go to three different a drive-through so everybody can compromise and get what they want to eat. If one prescription drug doesn't work, your doctor's more than happy to try something else. If you don't like who you're married to, get a divorce, marry somebody else. If you don't like your clothes, get other clothes. There's not really very many steadfast things that really you have to do. Because there's always a way to get out of it or right. to make it right. not as important or a valid reason not to participate. So we learn this as children from our parents. We see it happen in TV shows and in magazines and books and movies. So by the time someone graduates high school, they've literally had 17 or 18 years of misinformation,
yeah,
on what is real and exactly how accountable and responsible you are to yourself. So if you're older, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or 70s, whatever, well, then that's just that many more years, isn't it, of bad habits. And let's face it, we love our traditions. We love our habits. I'm really starting to kind of enjoy it. I didn't at first because I really didn't understand why. But the guys, they send me on all kinds of little fandangos. Jim knows because I've called him before and told him what's going on and how I got there. Because he'd say, "Why are you there?" Mm-hmm. And I'd say, "I don't know. But the guy said, this is something here for me to learn." I'll go to a grocery store and shop really slow. And somebody, man, woman, or child, whomever, will come in and they will just literally be livid. They will just lose their mind, want to just destroy the whole store because the soup has been moved. And you can hear them mumbling to themselves, "I've been coming to this grocery store for 10 years, and aisle number 3, halfway down on the left-hand side, has always been the soup aisle. Where's the soup. I know they have soup. I know they wouldn't just stop selling soup. Why they moved the soup, if the soup has been fine here for all these years, I don't know why all of a sudden they'd think they would have to move the soup. And we all know this for a fact. There's very few grocery stores that have help just perusing the aisles to help people find things.
Right.
So what do? Now I've got to hunt down the soup. I just wanted to come in and get a few things, but no, now I'm going to be here all night long looking for a stupid soup. Okay, we don't like change. You go to your favorite restaurant, and the menus were old and stained and tattered and dirty. And so they wanted to modernize and get new menus and maybe add a few things. But that means that your favorite dish that you always order, it's not in the new menu on the same place.
Right.
We don't like change. There's a detour. Even if it's a couple miles shorter to work, this isn't the way I go to work. I don't want to be on this road. Well, it's closer. I don't care how close it is. This isn't the way I go to work.
Right.
Now I've been detoured. People go crazy over television shows that have been moved from a Sunday night to a Tuesday night. I can't believe they moved my favorite show. Oh, why would they do that? Don't they understand that I was watching that and how important it is? So obviously, a menu, a can of soup, a TV show, the way we get to work or school, the way something is packaged. It used to come in 12 ounces, now it's in 16 ounces. I liked it better when there was less because I can't drink it all. If this stuff flips us out and we worry about these things,
right?
Honestly, cut yourself some slack here. How are you really supposed to have any skill set? How are you supposed to have any habits in your life when Jim and I say, you need to change the way you think and see the world? You need to look at yourself in a different light. You need to set these things aside that you think are important because they're not.
Right.
To take this back to the beginning of the show, you have spent so many years eating so many meals where the gravy drowns everything on the dinner plate.
Right.
You don't even know what food tastes like without gravy.
Lost your point of reference. Yeah. I've got scripture that says exactly what you've been talking about. Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not the things that are on the earth. And then it says, as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm going to go ahead and read that in the Message Bible. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Well, and it goes on to say, and that means killing off everything connected with that way of death, with the old life. Folks, there's so much to be said about these scriptures like this. And I trust that you enjoy the package here where BJ's saying something like he did that was so good. And I can bring a scripture to back this up. But please get these thoughts here tonight. There's something about the character and the quality of being a human being in the day we're living that has been lost that used to be in years past. In fact, we talked a little bit about people being so casual.
Yeah, to each other. I mentioned that before the show.
And that made a lot of sense to me. Yeah. About how, and this was something, and I can remember it too, how it used to be people were called by their last name.
You were, it didn't matter if you were the lowest person on the totem pole at a large company. Everybody still called you by your last name. They'd say, "Hello, Mr. Wilson, how are you?" And you'd say, "Hello, Mr. Jones, how are you? Hello, Mrs. Hello, Mr." There was no first name basis. And there was please and thank you. And there was, and even if it wasn't really sincere and people didn't mean it, they still conducted themselves in that way. Because there was an unwritten rule of limits and boundaries. Yeah. And a way you conduct yourself.
Right.
And think of it. There used to be more of a dress code where suit and ties and hats and there was more. There was the clothes that you wore around the house. There was a clothes that you'd work in the yard. There would clothes that you might go shopping in. But then there was clothes that you would go out in. And there was more of an understanding and a respect for yourself and how you were perceived. Look at it now. If you go to a grocery store or to a movie or to a restaurant, you'll see somebody wearing slippers, jogging suits, all kinds of clothes. People just do what they want. And a total stranger, if you tell them your name, if you say, "Hi, my name is BJ Rickard," they call me BJ. And so when I meet somebody, they say, "Who are you?" And I say, "My name's Rickard." And they say, "Well, is that what you want me to call you?" And I says, "Well, you can call me Rickard, or you can call me Mr. Rickard." And they'll say, "Well, you don't want me to call you by your first name?" And I'd say, "I've never seen you before in my life. Why would I want you to call me by my first name?" And they get upset. And they go, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, everybody uses their first name." And I go, "Well, obviously not everybody." And they'd say, "Well, my name's Wilson." I go, "Fine. Nice to meet you, Mr. Wilson." And yeah. they don't know how to take it.
Well, I noticed at the ranch. I mean, even to all the ranch girls. I mean, people here they are, 17, 20 years old, 24, 30 years old, and you always use their last name.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We hired a new girl. Her name is Miss Strand. Her first name's Mariah. She's 20 years old. She's going to a Bible college here in Tulsa. And she just got married. And it was kind of funny. Today was her second day.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't eavesdropping, but I just happened to be close by. I could hear. So here's these three cowgirls working. One of them is 36. One of them is 18. And one's 20. And it just so happens that the 18-year-old has worked here the longest. So she's senior. She's in charge. Right. You've met her.
Yeah.
You know, her first name's Jade.
Yeah.
The barrel racer. And they're talking. And this new girl, Mariah Strand, she says, "It kind of freaks me out. He won't call me Mariah. He calls me Miss Strand. But I notice he doesn't call you Jade or he doesn't say Stephanie. He calls you, you know, your last names." And the 34-year-old, she says, "Yeah, it took me about a week to get used to it." And she says, "You know, he says please and thank you. And she says, "I've never had somebody use my last name and say please and thank you when they chewed me out before." She says, "It's really weird." And she says, I don't know how to address him. Do I?" And the 18-year-old, she says, "Well, most of us just call him boss."
Uh-huh.
And she says, "Why?" And he says, "Well, that's kind of the way it is on a farm or a ranch."
Right.
Whoever the boss is, you just say, "Hey, boss."
Yeah.
You know, or "Mr. Boss." And she says, I really kind of like it, but it really kind of threw me."
Uh-huh.
You know, and she says, and I was just listening. And then I came around the corner and I said, "You girls got to quit talking and you need to get your blankety blank rear ends and get going here, please." You know?
Yeah.
And then I turned around and I walked out and she goes, "See, he did it again. He kind of chewed us out, but then he said, please and thank you." She says, "I really don't feel bad about it."
That's pretty good.
But, good. Yeah, but, it's respect.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that hard.
Right.
I know I'm different, and I know I'm odd, because I grew up in the shadowy area where half of the country was cutting loose and just going nuts. And the other half of the country was holding on to the old school traditions with a death grip.
Right, right.
And I just happened to live in the part of the country that was holding on with the old school traditions. And I spent the majority of the formative years of my life with World War II and Korea War veterans. And so you are what you learned.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was, you know.
Well, taking it from a scriptural point of view here for everyone, what you just heard and what I asked BJ to talk about. Listen to Paul talking about money. And when he talks about money, he's talking about the way of the world. And he says here in it's 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9 in the Message. But if it's only money these leaders are all after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely and live to regret it bitterly ever after. And then this is what he says to the young man Timothy who's in the ministry. But you, Timothy, man of God, run for your life from all of this.
Yeah.
So look at what Paul's saying. The things that we're sharing here tonight, these need to be taken with this same thought process. Run for your life,
right,
from the mentality of being so worldly that you literally make God obscure.
And if people want to apply this to your daily lives, I'm going to give you a perfect example. There's a well-known religious figure who just purchased a $10 million home. But he's already got a couple other homes. And I was listening to this person talk, and they were talking about how grateful they were for their new $10 million home. And in the same conversation, the same paragraph, they're talking about how they want people to give to their ministry so that they can help people who don't have a lot of money. I literally looked at Ranger. Ranger looked at me. And I looked at the guys and I said, this person has people all over the planet buying into their
totally,
stuff.
Totally buying into it.
And I said, there's an 800 number scrolling across the bottom of my television. And it has all the little credit card signs. The guy might as well be selling spray paint or some kitchen slicer dicer. And I says, there are people hurting and suffering, and they're giving their money to this guy, and he's talking about how he just spent $10 million on a new home. And I go, and they don't see that there's a problem with this?
Right.
That this is a person that they're relying on to open the door to heaven? To give them a roadmap to grace? I'm not saying that Jim and I are any better than this person. I'm saying we're different.
Right.
It's not about good or bad. It's about effectiveness.
Yeah.
It's about what really works for you. Because I don't want to pray for you. I don't want you praying for me. I want you to have 100% success rate with your prayers. And that's what I want for me.
Yeah.
Because that's testimony.
Yeah, and it's also the individualism that God wants every one of us to have.
We got an email that came in 42 minutes ago. It says, they have a dog named Harley, and it says, Harley hates his dog food. What kind would you suggest? Okay, real quickly about dog foods. And what I'm going to say about dog food applies to cat food, rabbit food, horse feed, pig feed, chicken feed, every kind of animal feed. Okay. Dogs should have a dog food that has no corn, no glucose, no sugars, very little carbohydrates. There are some really good dog foods out there that people pass up because they think they're too expensive. Well, the dog food that I feed Ranger is probably 2.5 times as expensive as one of the number one most advertised dog foods that sells everywhere is. But also, you have to feed less of it. Because instead of giving her 3 or 4 cups of dog food because of her body weight and size, I give her 2 cups because there's no waste in it. It's all very efficient fuel. And just to give you an idea what Ranger's dog food is like, is it's got chicken and turkey. It has some turkey meal and chicken meal. Then it's got chicken fat. It has potatoes. It has some fish. It has eggs. It has duck, salmon. It's got dried kelp, carrots, apples, tomatoes, blueberries, spinach, cranberries. A little bit of parsley and rosemary. And then it has a laundry list of vitamins and minerals. But see, there's no mention of corn or glucose. There's a company called Chicken Soup for Dogs, Chicken Soup for Cats. There's Blue Buffalo is a good dog food. Another good dog food that's common to find, besides chicken soup and blue buffalo, is there's one called Call of the Wild. Call of the Wild has really cool bags. They've got like these pictures of bears and elk and deer. That's a really good one. They're out there, and there's more of them coming out every single day.
Have you heard of Blue? Just Blue?
Blue is good.
That's what we get.
Yeah, Blue is good, and I'll tell you something. If a dog has a hard time eating its food, a lot of times it's out of boredom. This is what I do with Ranger. I buy some flavorings that are all healthy and natural, and there's 3 of them. There's one that tastes like beef, one that tastes like chicken, and one that tastes like turkey. And I have different flavored dog bones. And I buy a little bit of different flavored wet food. And so I rotate them and I mix them, which means that Ranger never has the same meal twice in a 2-week period. So every day, there's a 14, it works out 14 different meals. So Ranger's on a 14-day rotation. So what I feed her tonight, Ranger won't eat again, and it won't smell or taste like that for 2 weeks, for 14 days. So she's always really excited about her meals because there's a variety. Dogs like variety. So pick 2 or 3 different dog foods that you think are healthy and mix them around.
Yep.
Dogs like variety. And yep. Sometimes the reason a dog won't eat is the place where they eat. Either the floor is dirty and has an odor to it, or the dog bowl is dirty and has an odor to it. Remember, dog's sense of taste and smell is probably 200 or 300 times more acute than ours.
Mitch won't eat unless we put the gate up so he's separated from Muffin.
Well, see, there's a lot of... See, we have horses like that. We have a horse that will paw the ground and dig a hole like a construction backhoe if left to her own accord, because she thinks that other horses are going to steal her food, even though they don't. So when she eats, she paws the ground with her right foot.
So what do you do?
Nothing. Because it doesn't hurt her foot. I feed her in soft ground.
Hmm.
And every day it's somebody else's job to take a shovel there and
fill in the hole?
Fill in the hole.
Oh, Lord.
And because she's not hurting anything. There's no sense bothering her. Every once in a while, I'll tell somebody, well, fine, feed her last, and then just stand there and talk to her. Text your friends, make a phone call, watch the clouds roll by, and then she won't mm-hmm. do it.
Mm-hmm.
But just because an animal does something that you think is odd or different doesn't mean that you have to, like,
right,
get all bothered by it.
Right.
You know? I mean, I know people that don't like their food to touch other food.
Yeah, they turn their plate and eat one kind of food at the time.
What do I care?
Right.
Well, I don't care.
Right.
All right, folks, there is still time left to send us some emails. I want to know your thoughts, how tonight's show is affecting you. What good or bad, what kind of feelings, what kind of thoughts have we stirred in you to think about how you're overwhelming your life? We've talked about this before, about being committed, how to be all in, to really go for broke, to be accountable to yourself, to turn away from the world. Moses did this. Everybody that followed Jesus, he didn't say go home and pack a bag and have your mail forwarded. No, he said drop your tools, drop your fishing nets, and follow me. All right, we got one here. It says, this is Florida Ed. I've spent over 3 decades in church. When I first started listening to the show, I would get frustrated and uncertain of what you were talking about. It's been over a year with the show and all the archives. Now, I'm having experiences with grace continually. He even corrects me when I get off track. I'm internally grateful for this show. You guys be encouraged and keep up the good work. God's grace. Ed in Florida.
Yeah,
we
thanks,
haven't
Ed.
Heard from him.
Yeah.
Has Florida Ed has been listening for a year?
Wow. Plus all the archives too.
Man, time flies.
But I like the progression that he talked about. At first it was hard.
I do too.
Because it kind of went against maybe some of the ways that he was used to hearing things or being instructed. But he stayed with it, and now he's beginning to see God and experience him on a regular basis.
Well, here we go. Here's old Stinky Mulligan.
Uh-oh, what's Mulligan saying?
Good old Mulligan Tim in North Carolina. Well, I call him Stinky because he thought it was funny. Don't smell like skunks, but it still a little bit does on the other end of the barn.
Okay.
We don't know how the skunk got in the barn. We don't know why the skunk sprayed.
There's so many skunks around Tulsa that are getting hit. I mean, it's ridiculous.
There is an overpopulation of skunks, possums, coyotes, and turtles.
Do the coyotes get the skunks? They need to.
They would if they were starving. But there's so much more. I mean, a coyote really doesn't even have to chase a rabbit or a mouse or a rat. There's so many cats and dogs, and people leave cat and dog food out in their backyards. I mean, there's really, that's part of the problem,
mm-hmm.
is that they have no natural enemy, and it's too easy to find a meal. Did you know that most of the turtles in the United States shouldn't be in the United States?
Where should they be?
They came from Europe and other countries, and they really caused more problems than good.
Hmm.
Okay, we got one here.
What did Mulligan say?
He said, hey, BJ, Jim, and Ranger, listening in again tonight, and love it when you guys do a topic that I'm thinking about and working on right now. Mulligan Tim.
Oh, good.
Where's Breakfast Ed? I wanted to thank him, but Breakfast Ed, I guess, isn't listening tonight.
You thank him for your $10?
Yeah. That's it, yeah. That, folks, yeah, you know, we really, just to do a little housekeeping, I don't know why we've never said this before. If you want to send something to the show, whether it's something to eat or you send something and you want us to buy something or do something, it would be really handy if you would just kind of include a little note or a card of what your expectation is. Because sometimes, sometimes we really don't know.
Yep.
Because they'll say, here, this is for the show. And I'll say, well, I wonder what they would really like us to do, because I would hate to tell somebody that we thank them and this is what we're doing, and they say, oh, I really would have liked, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, you know.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I just don't want to disappoint someone and do that. Okay. And, all right, I want to check for emails one more time. You want to say something to music?
Yeah, I will. I'm going to give you one more scripture, and then we'll say something here as we're concluding. And
tomorrow night, library, yes or no?
Library, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Hardesty Library at 93rd and Memorial. And you can go to jimhockaday.com, and there'll be a live stream button there you can push, and you can find the you can watch with us at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. You can find that live stream for a week until the next show, the next Wednesday night, knocks it off. Also, on the jimhockaday.com website page, you can find the Abiding Presence as well. So you can find both on the page.
Okay, what's the scripture?
It says, Dear Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6:11, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide-open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And I wanted to read that because that's really my purpose, and I know BJ's purpose on this show. The things that we share are for you to begin to open up your heart and open up your mind. And I'm seeing more in my ministry on the weekends as I go and minister. I'm seeing more people get helped the more I can open up their heart or mind. And some folks, I mean, they've got a tough nut to crack.
They do.
But others come just literally so, what should we say, with a blank slate, not thinking anything, and bam, they get healed, they find God, they experience the Lord. And so to those of you that have been like I've been saved for 49 years. I've basically been in church since the day I was born, over 5 decades. And when you think about it, it would be a shame to go to heaven right now not having as many experiences as I could. And when I think back to it, it's years and years of being convinced that it's a special experience for anybody to have even one experience with God.
I think I want to give people something real quick.
Yep.
If I may, because I never get to say anything on the show.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say hello, and I never get a chance.
You can say hello.
This is really true. If you're having trouble losing weight, if you're having troubles stop gambling or stop drinking, or you really wish you didn't spend all that time on the internet, or you really wish you had a better relationship with a brother or sister or whatever, no matter what you wish you could change, and it feels impossible, that no matter how hard you try, no matter how much money you've spent, no matter who you listen to, it just doesn't work. It's impossible. This is just the way you are, and you're going to live that way. I'm here to tell you that you are wrong, wrong, wrong. It's all about habits. It's all about how you conduct yourself on a daily basis. And if you don't believe me, this is a homework assignment. I've just created a homework assignment.
Okay, good.
You in for a surprise?
I am.
Okay, this is a homework assignment. Between now and next week's show, I want you to pick one thing and one thing only. If you wish you didn't bite your fingernails, if you really wish you weren't a nose picker, if you wish that you could just put the toilet seat down after you go to the bathroom, if you wish that you could just get up early enough to have a little bit of a breakfast before you leave the house. If you wish that you could just turn off that stupid television and go to bed 1 hour earlier just so you could get an hour's extra sleep. You wish you could just remember to clean the litter box out. Everybody that listens to this show, there is one little thing that we all do that you wish that you would just stop. Here's the homework assignment. Take a piece of paper before you go to bed tonight and put two or three things on that piece of paper that you wish you could just stop. And circle one of them, underline it, highlight it. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, say, I put three things down before I went to bed, and this is the one I chose. And tomorrow, Wednesday of March 2015, the 18th of March, tomorrow is day one. See how many days you can go, and every time you think about doing it, every time you start to do it or say it, whatever it is, just say no. And think about that piece of paper and the one that you chose. And see if you can do it for a week. Because by the time next Tuesday night's show rolls around on the 24th, it won't be that tough. And depending on your motivation and how excited you are and how good you're going to feel about yourself, you may be over it for the rest of your life. Because if you can change a little habit, you can change any habit. Because once you start eliminating the world and the flesh, it opens up all kinds of room for grace to come into your life. Did you like that?
I did.
What are you going to change? Yeah, have you figured it out?
Yep.
What is it?
I'm not telling.
Really? You're not going to share?
Nope.
I got mine.
I do too.
You know what mine is?
No, I don't. You stop eating chocolate?
I don't eat a lot of chocolate. You know what it is?
What?
Because this one's going to freak you out.
Huh.
Are you ready for this?
Sure, I'm ready for anything.
No potato chips. Okay. Look at the look on your face! He literally just took the potato chips off the table.
I got them in my bag.
No potato chips.
Okay.
Because, you know what? Well, it's well, you know me. It's easy. I can stop and, you know.
Right.
It's really true. I can say anything and just stop on a dime. So, and see, that's part of what makes it hard for people to be around me, but it's made it easy for me to go home.
Yeah. Well, again, that has to do with the whole point. And that's part of the point of the show for me is helping people. I used a word that people don't use, but it was ownership. Or in other words,
yeah.
Having authority in your own life, being fully right. committed, being able to say, I'm not going to, and you don't.
Yeah.
Having that restraint. And that's part of what makes the authority of the believer and the grace of God work.
Now, I do want to say this about potato chips.
Yeah.
Bring them. I just won't eat them.
Okay.
Because I know that this is kind of your snack night because you're like a really healthy eater.
Yeah, I'm a healthy eater.
And so this is like your one little moment out of your week where you kind of indulge yourself with chips, dips, and chocolate and snacks. So if you want to bring chips next week, go ahead. Won't bother me a bit.
Okay. I'm going to bring one of every kind.
There's only a couple chips that you and I like.
Okay.
Well, no, there's one chip that you like that I can't stand. It's that ridiculous sea salt vinegar concoction.
Oh, yeah.
You like those.
I don't love them, but I mean, I like them, yeah.
Yeah, but you haven't had them in a long time because no. You always bring chips that we both like.
Yep.
Well, see, now you can drown in those, and that really won't bother me because hate those. See, I'm already hedging myself,
yeah, you're already
making it easy.
Yourself.
Yeah, bring chips I don't like. That's self-control.
Well, we're glad that you joined us tonight. We certainly trust we'll see you again next week. Take the things that we shared tonight boy, begin to apply them to your life, even if it's just baby steps every single day. Listen to the testimony of Florida Ed when he said at the beginning of listening, he was having a hard time, but because he's been staying with it, gotten into the archives, he's seeing grace and experiencing God on a regular basis. These are the type of things and testimonies we want everyone that's listening to have. And so let the grace of God just be fluent and abundant in your life, because we know that it is. See it everywhere. Experience God today and every day. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
So what did you think of the show tonight?
Well, I enjoyed another show. I feel like we made some points that are really important. So,
did you like it? I wonder if people liked it.
Well, I'll be at the library tomorrow. Usually I get some feedback there. So
all right. Good. Folks, it'll take me about 10, 15 minutes to get tonight's show up and streaming. And then it'll stream 24/7 until next week's show. Oh, you're all fired up. You haven't barked the whole show. Dog food, dog food. Ranger gets fed after the show.
Uh-huh.
We want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. And thanks for listening. Welcome to the new listeners out there. And I want to say hello to the people that only get a chance to listen as the show streams 24/7. Jim and I do know that you're out there, right?
Yeah.
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 Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
And remember, dog spelled backwards. Good girl, Ranger. Boy, she's barky tonight.
She's enjoying it.
She had a big day, too. We were busy at the ranch today.
Well, she slept for most
of the
show.
We did all kinds of stuff. Good night, everybody.
Good night.